The views expressed are not necessarily those of KSCJ and Powell Broadcasting Company. This program is not intended to replace the advice of doctors or other clinical providers. Consult with your practitioner to ensure the proper course of action for you.
Welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well on AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ. This program is dedicated to your mental health wellness and brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency. Here's your host, Art Silva.
Good morning, Siouxland, and welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well. This show is all about your mental wellness and how you can help yourself navigate the daily highway of life. We hope to educate and motivate you to help improve your mental wellness environment. I'm Art Silva, and our show is brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency serving the Siouxland community. Let me introduce my co-host, Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer of Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning and happy Easter.
Yeah, how you living today?
I'm hopping on the dream.
I love it. Okay, now you're okay to go out and hide all the eggs. Okay,
that's
get
right.
That all done. So, all wonderful. Would you please introduce our guest today?
Absolutely. So today we're going to talk about substance abuse, use, and mental health. And we are fortunate enough to have an agency in our community that provides services, Rose Krantz Jackson Recovery Center. So we have with us today Lee Gill and her colleague to talk about all the fabulous work they're doing. Lee, I'm going to turn it over to you. And if you want to kind of talk about yourself and what Rose Krantz does, that'd be great.
Thanks, Brenda. My name's Lee Gill, and I am the Director of Development at Rose Krantz Jackson Centers. And we have been open about 45 years now. We're primarily substance use disorder, and we do also serve the mental health community. We do have both adults and adolescents at our units. We serve adolescents both in residential and in the outpatient areas, so which is nice because once a residential outpatient gets out of treatment, they still may need more assistance, and they can go into outpatient and still get that support. So we have a women's center which serve women and children and women's, and then we also have two men's units, and as I said, the adolescent unit, and then we have outpatients downtown. So we have halfway houses, and we also have an apartment house that holds 24 apartments. So the impact of COVID on the community, we were lucky enough that we were able to stay open through the entire COVID pandemic. It was kind of touch and go. We had clients working in other units. We first got the cloth masks and then found out the cloth masks weren't good. So then we went to the other masks and, you know, all the things everybody else did, but we were able to stay open. So we were pretty proud of that. So
well, your job was made more difficult. Let me ask you, is your job made more difficult because of the vaccination policy? In terms of hiring people, getting vaccinated, not getting vaccinated, because that was a requirement if you had any type of Medicaid business.
Hi, I'll take that question. My name is Brenda Iliff, and I'm the VP of Clinical Services at Rose Krantz Jackson.
So I get Brenda. We got Brenda in stereo today.
Yes, we do. We do. We do. And then from what I hear, we've had quite a partnership over the years with Boys and Girls Home and Rose Krantz Jackson. So thank you for letting us
really
be on this program.
Yes.
Yeah. Boy, what a heritage. And my job is to kind of oversee all the different services. By the way, I just want to start by saying I love that Boys and Girls Home is focusing on the year of the family, because all these programs that Lee's talking about, whether it's the mom with the kids in treatment, whether it's the dad, whether it's the absent parent, whether it's the parent that's lost custody, all those kids are being affected. And a lot of times we see generational trauma in both of our services, of course. You were asking, Art, about COVID and its impact on the agency. Lee said very well, we didn't close a thing, but boy, did we have to pivot, just like you. You know, those outpatient counselors, within 5 days, they had to be working from home, and it was craziness, you know, for people, and people were scared to death, and they were trying to take care of their kids, and but we kept every service open, every bed open. I think we're one of the few substance use disorder places in the state that was able to keep every bed open. And yes, the vaccination policy has taken effect on staffing. You know, there's people that have very strong beliefs not to get vaccinated. And we've lost some staff because of it. But we also have ways that we try to work with anyone, and maybe they move to another job where they work from home or whatever. So, you know, we're in this for the long term, and we have some wonderful long-term staff, just like you do, that we want to support through this.
I'm Art Silver, along with Brenda Geisinger, and our guests from Rosecrans, Lee Gill and Brenda Eisler. And we're talking about substance abuse and mental wellness. So let's continue our discussion. How many children are you serving right now?
We have a substance use disorder residential unit that can hold up to 18 kids, and that can be kind of flexible, as you know, with kids, they kind of come and go. And we need in the community more mental health disorder units, so we're so glad you guys are here, but in the state too, as you know, we're just so short.
It took COVID, unfortunately, to bring that need out of where the children are. And the children, they're at the bottom of the scale. Everything kind of slides down, the pressure, the stress. They feel their parents' stress when it's a job or it's money or whatever it might be. So they're sitting there accumulating all of this information, and sometimes it just, ba-boom. You notice a difference in your child, and it needs some help.
Yeah. Watch
now, the question I want to know, when we look at substance abuse, what happened during COVID with substance abuse?
Well, we know nationally our overdoses increase because people weren't found. Interventions with kids, we saw our census go down significantly because a lot of the people that notice the problems are the schools. So they weren't in school, so no one's noticing. And also the criminal justice system, and they weren't seeing their, you know, JCOs face-to-face as such. Parents were so stressed with just trying to survive as far as their work or making sure people go to school and stuff, that, you know, kids could get by with more stuff without being noticed.
So. Brenda, what did you notice in our units with COVID and the after effect of COVID with our students and staff?
I think what we're really starting to see with the clients the Boys and Girls Home serves is the impact now, probably more so than when it was first happening. The stress, the uncertainty, the instability of what's been going on. Kids are in a very precarious situation as it was before COVID, and even more so now. A lot of depression, anxiety, you know, what's the new normal, and how are they handling everything? Being behind in school and reconnecting with peers, and how to re-engage with the world.
Well, we've seen some statistics come out, the recent CDC survey, and that was the first time we had some numbers come out confirming what we already knew. We were going through this, so on a day-to-day basis, and as Brenda said, anything can change, and you keep managing that, and you keep managing that. Let me ask Lee, from your perspective, how were you affected during COVID? You're a development director. Did you have a problem there? Because we all had to shuffle and just kind of like put it back together and find out that nucleus of support that we had for the agency. A lot of members really showed their true colors by supporting agencies in really difficult times. You want to comment on that?
Basically, I ended up sort of in two positions. I worked a lot with referrals at that point to assure them that we were still open, assure them that we were planning on staying open, and that they were safe in referring their adults and kids over to Rosecrans Jackson. So I did a lot of that during the COVID, aside from speaking to donors. The donors stayed fairly consistent, you know, because they knew that we were open. So we didn't have any events at that time, so there wasn't any big fundraising opportunities then. But, I just stayed consistent with the consistent donors.
I remember we tried something. We did our first, and I think only, virtual auction. It was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of work, a little mm-hmm. different. But mainly to stay in contact with your people, you know, that, mm-hmm. hey, we're making an impact. We're still opening, and what you're hearing now is what we've kind of been dealing with for a while. So I think it was a tough time, but everybody got behind everybody. That's the way this community works. They want to see, they want to help where help is needed. And boy, did the donors come through in a real tough period of time, and they still stay with you. Mm-hmm. They still stay because they believe in what you're doing. So I think it's a credit to the agencies and what you're doing over there. So
I would agree.
It's just a fantastic community support that we get. Mm-hmm. You know, we're coming up on our break right now, so we'll be back in a moment with more of When Things Aren't Going Well. Please continue your morning chill, and we'll see you in a little bit right back here on When Things Aren't Going Well.
Let's face it, it happens to all of us. However, the pandemic has compounded all of our lives and activities. Even the simplest tasks seem harder. Hi, I'm Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer at the Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Family Services is a United Way partner agency serving children and families of our community, and we're here to help. If you'd like to learn more about Family Services, please contact us via email, website, Facebook, or phone Mary Pickens. At Family Services, we change lives.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well on KSCJ. Here's Art Silva.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well. I'm Art Silva along with Brenda Geisinger, and our guest today from Rosecrans Jackson, Lee and Brenda. So the first half of the show, we talked a little bit about what's going on with COVID, since COVID, with substance abuse and mental health. Now, here's the question. It's the chicken and egg question. when you look at it, is it substance abuse that contributes to mental health, or is it mental health that contributes to substance abuse? You folks deal on both sides of the coin, so give us educate us on this, please.
The answer is yes. You know, it's really both and. I mean, there's things with mental health that make people more at risk for abusing substances, such as past trauma, such as anxiety, such as depression, such as unresolved maybe thought disorders. You know, as humans, we just all want to feel better. And if we can find that feeling better in substances, that's what we do. But there's also other things that make people more at risk for substance use disorder. Genetics is a big factor, you know. We see so much trauma. And as you said, you know, it in this community, we see a lot of generational trauma, family after family after family. And our job, both at Boys and Girls Home and at Rosecrans Jackson, is to help intervene in that trauma history. We do know that for folks, if they're seeking mental health treatment and they're using, it probably won't be as effective. But we also know with substance use disorder, if they're seeking only substance use disorder treatment and we're not touching on their mental health, it won't be as effective either. So it needs to be both and how do we partner on that?
Okay, Brenda, I'm going to ask you, okay, you give us what's the mental health viewpoint from this perspective?
It's going to be the same answer is yes, both can be impacted. When you have severe depression and start using a substance, that depression can get worse. And same with anxiety or whatever the case may be. So it's kind of one doesn't come before the other, but they both impact each other and can make the other one worse, if that's a nice way to put it. And it's really, what do you focus on? And like the other Brenda was saying, you have to treat both if you have both disorders. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to if you're a diabetic and have a mental health, you know, situation that you're addressing, you have to treat both to be successful as a person. And so if you're struggling with substance abuse and struggling with mental health, you have to treat both to be successful in your life journey.
As we go back to substance abuse, Let me ask you, what's the, I don't know how to say this, drug of the day? What are you dealing with prevalent? What's your top drug, for lack of another way of saying this?
Mm-hmm. It depends on the group. So I'll speak specifically to adolescents, but we are seeing so much fentanyl. A year ago, it was a lot of cannabis, which generally, you know, that's a given. I mean, you know, you guys know with kids, they don't care what the drug is called as long as it feels good. So we're seeing, you know, everything. But I would say in the last year, we're having kids come in and say, my drug of choice is fentanyl, where before that never happened. They might not even know it's in their drugs, where now people are seeking it. So
when I am seeing the response of NACOM, the drug is coming out more publicly available,
yes,
for schools and agencies to use when they see this overdose. Have you had any experience with that?
You bet I have. In fact, I carry Narcan with me. I think as citizens, we should all have naloxone on us, and it's free. Iowa has a grant. You just go to the pharmacy. We work real close with Drilling Pharmacy. They'll just give it to you. You fill out some paperwork, and I'm sure other pharmacies do the same. The neat thing is the CDC just approved for it to be over-the-counter. So probably about July, we'll see it over-the-counter. And that takes away a little bit of the stigma. You know, I just pick it up with my cold medicine where I don't have to go talk to a pharmacist and have people wonder why I'm carrying it. We should have naloxone in our libraries. I know our police carry it. It's a great reversal drug. And people will say, well, doesn't that encourage people to overdose? I would encourage kids to carry it because they never know when they're going to come upon an overdose event. And it does reverse the overdose event.
Well, it's amazing how we've gone that way. And my first thought was, geez, you know, we're kind of like downstream on this day. How do we get in front of it so that we don't have to? We're great about being able to save lives with it. Mm-hmm. That's important, always the goal. But how do we get upstream and really try to educate and keep our kids safer?
Yeah, and some of that is, I mean, we have to come together as a community. And you spoke about having the police on here and the schools on here and the DEA. We have to, you know, work with those folks. And I mean, it's political, it's criminal justice, it's mental health, it's substance use. It's all of us together. And one of the things I've noticed living in this community now for about 3 years is this community cares about their kids.
Very
much. And we, you know, we've got the Mayor's Youth Commission, we've got Siouxland Cares, we've got things that people are really concerned. You know, Gary Niles just retired, and what a heritage of caring about those kids. And
Gary's
so
wonderful.
The more we
Absolutely.
Can bring that together for folks, you know, to get ahead of it. So,
well, you know, this is something I think the public, it's doing this with our children, not only do you want to stop it, it gets you angry. Because whoever is providing these drugs, they're putting in a decay into our system, starting early with our kids, and this will affect us. So I mean, going back in the day, there was alcohol and marijuana, and okay, you can give it on, like you said, it's a given. But getting into the stuff that's coming out in the market now in children that don't know better, I would throw the book at anybody caught dealing this with a child. Mm-hmm. This is simply unacceptable, and I think we have to look at it that way as a community. This has a lasting effect, and I guess we're the market for it. So if we got a market here, what do we do to get rid of the market? So right. It's a complex problem that a lot of communities are facing. But when we face it together and try to handle it together and share the information, we'll be more successful. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're doing. Ladies, before the show is over, I want you to talk about what's coming up with Jackson, Rosecrans Jackson, and any fundraisers you may have going. We'll try to help you sell some tickets.
Well, actually, we do have a fundraiser coming up. It's in a couple months. It's October 7th down at the Sioux City Convention Center, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a silent auction and a plate of dinner, and we're going to have dueling pianos, so it's going to be entertainment. Just a fun night for everybody. We aren't going to have a speaker. We'll have a small presentation, but we're just going to enjoy the night and celebrate being alive. So we're looking forward to that. If you want any information, you can call me, Lee Gill, down at Rosecrans Jackson, and I've got any information that you want. So we're excited about that. It's the first time we've had a fundraiser for a couple of years. So,
well, let's get back out there and share the joy of the successes we've had. At
yes,
the same time,
absolutely.
Enjoy the commitment of the group to continue on and continue the fight.
Yep.
And you guys do a great job. We're coming up towards the end of our show, and every week we end our show with a joke. Humor is medicine for the soul. So in the spirit of Easter, let me ask you a question. Where does the Easter Bunny eat breakfast? IHOP. Thanks, Lee, Brenda, and our listening audience. Our shout-out today goes to Trayla Lee and her recognition as Siouxland's Remarkable Woman. If you know Trayla, you know that she is remarkable. If you don't know Trayla, I hope that in the future your paths cross. She is community-driven. Don't forget to visit the new and improved Stuff Store. New stuff arriving daily. Stuff is located in the former Indian Hills Shopping Plaza, the new home of the Jenny Peterson Behavioral Health Campus. Also, Boys and Girls Home and Family Services is looking for teachers for the upcoming school year. Part-time team teaching, 20 hours a week, an approach with smaller classes, and an assistant in every room. Call our HR manager at 293-4700. We have immediate openings and we're planning for the next school year. When Things Aren't Going Well, we'll air next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on 1360 AM, 94.9 FM, KSCJ. Have a great week and may the sun shine on you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
For more information on the services provided by Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, see them online at boysandgirlshomeiowa.org. Or you can call 712-293-4700. To get more information about family services, residential treatment, the Opportunity School, the Siouxland Family Center, and more. At Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, we change lives.